best with a pen and a pad. Don't even think about it. Six gun weighing a ton, 10 paces and turn just for fun. Sun up to sundown, rolling around. See where the bad guys are to be found and make them lay down. The defenders of the West, crushing all pretenders in the West. Don't mess with us, cause we in the Wild Wild West. When I roll into the Wild Wild West, when I stroll into the Wild Wild West, when I bounce into the Wild Wild West.
You are now tuned in to Asian Wave 101, your dedicated weekly source for the best and latest of Chinese and Korean pop music, as well as indie music, Asian entertainment news, and special features of talented Canadian artists. Every Wednesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. for CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition, another installment of Asian Wave 101, your dedicated weekly source for some of the best and latest in Asian music and entertainment news. Now, for those of you who are listening and are new to this show, I'm your host, Steve Zhang, for CITR 101.9 FM, live in Vancouver from the UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Now, last week, if you were listening last week, I mentioned that there was a possibility that I may not be here today, but it seems luck is on my side this week, and I am here after all. So today is January 27, 2016, almost done with the first month of the year, and hopefully everyone has transitioned out of the holiday mode by now and are ready to tackle the new year and all its challenges. But right now, I think it's time for a break from to take some time away from the mundane day-to-day stuff. And the best way to do that is with some Asian music. Now, before I get into that, though, I would like to say a big shout-out to John Q from Q It Up, who was in here just before I was. He ended off with Wild Wild West. And John, even though there are some people who may disagree with us, I am on your side, and that Wild Wild West is a very, very good song. So the first track I have for you today is called Meteor, from an industry that doesn't get as much love as it should on this show. It's from Japan. It's J-pop. It's by a renowned singer named Takanori Nishikawa, a.k.a. TM Revolution. Takanori makes revolution. So it's considered a bit of a project, and it's not so much more of a stage name, more than it's the name of an official collaboration project with lyricist Akio Inoue and producer Daisuke Asakura. And I couldn't find any explanation for this name, but I guess you can imagine what it means. So Meteor was released on his 2003 album Coordinate, and anime fans may recognize it. It's one of the songs that he contributed to the Gundam Seed series. It's in the style often associated with J-pop, heavy use of synthesizers, a drum machine beat with a hint of rock influence. It's a very empowering song, actually. The lyrics are a little bit abstract, but here's a portion of it. Swallowed up in a wave of grief and light, amid the pain you awaken. And largely it's about fighting through the pain and the suffering, becoming stronger, and, as he said, awakening, kind of becoming what you were meant to be. So we don't hear the sound often on the show. Let's check it out now. TM Revolution with Meteor.
Thank you.
That was TM Revolution with Meteor, something from the Japanese music industry, which we really don't hear a whole lot, and I hope that the anime lovers out there really enjoy that one, and that it was a very empowering listen. And he has had a very long career. He's still going strong. 10 albums released, and he's for sure one of the most dynamic singers in Japan. Go and check him out further. So the next song that I have is from Korea. It's by girl group Stellar. They've become a very big deal in Korea since 2014 when their rather scandalous music video and song Marionette was released. Now, the response of the community, the K-pop community, the fan community, and the internet was more or less, let's say, slut-shaming. A lot of people took issue with the fact that the dance was a little more provocative. The image and the concept that they had for that particular release was very much out there. It was something that was very unexpected, and a lot of people were just really surprised by the overwhelming kind of sexually driven nature of it, and a lot of people took issue with that. But to really convey that they had a problem with that, they resorted to essentially calling them some pretty nasty names and really just saying a lot of things that should have been left unsaid. But the release after that, they kind of toned it down a bit in response to that. And then they kicked it right back up with Vibrato and now with Sting. Now, with the past two releases, they've become much more tongue-in-cheek. They've essentially began acknowledging that they have become a big deal due to the shock that Marionette caused, and that they know people clicked on that music video and clicked on their name in search engines because they wanted to see what the big deal was about. They've taken to addressing it in their music videos, consciously almost making fun of it and yet embracing it at the same time. Then they poke even further fun by releasing choreography videos for the song dressed in conservative skirts to kind of get that preppy, innocent sort of look people claim is purer. Now, the sheer hilarity, their self-awareness, and how they just don't seem to care anymore what people say is what makes them such an awesome group. So let's check out their song, Stellar with Sting.
Bokum, bokum, 뭐 하니?
That was Stellar with Sting, the latest release from the group, poking fun at their past controversies and through the lyrics kind of addressing the listeners a little bit, asking the question, is it possible that you have a guilty conscience? Are you bothered by the things that I say? Is there something about the way I present myself that makes you uncomfortable? And essentially, that's what they were going for. A lot of people did, again, they took issue with the image that they portrayed in Marionette, and now they're essentially going back to that and throwing it all in everybody's faces. So many, many huge props to Stellar for just being essentially not giving any sort of care as to what people think about them anymore. And I think a lot of people need that in their lives. So moving on, though, I have another song from Korea. It's by Korean pop rock band CN Blue, codename Blue. They released a new Korean studio album in September 2015 with the new single Cinderella. The song was composed and written by frontman Chung Yong-hwa, and it contains a lot of allusion to the fairy tale of the same name. Now, it's all about this kind of meeting this mysterious beauty. Curiosity kind of arises. They begin thinking, who is she? The fact that we're meeting, is it fate? Could it be a coincidence? And that lingering feeling that they may meet again is distinctly more poppy than some of their other tracks. In Japan, the music that they do in Japan tends to be more in a more conventional rock sort of sound. This one actually sounds like they're channeling Maroon 5 a little bit. It's in the synthesizers and the fast-paced sort of sound. So it's a pretty cool track, though. Let's check it out. CN Blue with Cinderella.
Somebody help me. celebrate the Year of the Monkey at the largest Lunar New Year event in UBC history. The UBC Centennial Lunar New Year Festival takes place February 5th from 12 to 5 at the Nest. Celebrate at this free event with food, games, arts and crafts, music, and dance performances for people of all ages. Learn more at diversity.ubc.ca.
Having trouble finding affordable, fresh baked goods and coffee? Come down to Agora Cafe, located in the McMillan Building at UBC. There's also space available to study.
We are back here live on Asian Wave 101 on CITR 101.9 FM. If you're just joining us now, I'm Steve Zhang, your host. Thanks for stopping by. Right before the break, we heard Korean rock band CN Blue with Cinderella, more in the pop rock style. And right now, I'm still thinking that the dichotomy is so amusing, how they can they use more of a pop sound in Korea and the more conventional rock sound in Japan. Then again, it makes sense because Japan is actually very well known for having some really, really good rock music. And you may have heard the vocal tone change at some parts in the song. That's guitarist Lee Jong-hyun, who came in and sang those parts just briefly, in a mixed in with the rest of Yonghwa's vocals. And up next, a song in Mandarin. It's by a singer named Jay Ari. Now, she is originally from Hong Kong, and she sings predominantly in Cantonese, but she can handle herself in Mandarin as well. And the song is from just a little over a year ago, her second album, Psyche Voice. The song is called 你的爱是什么形状, which literally translates to What Shape Is Your Love? It's a very sweet song. It's extremely simple, too. It tells the story of her noticing someone who is all by themselves and seems to be crying. They just seem to be sitting in the corner alone, tears coming out of their eyes. And she asks, why the tears? Is it because of love? She asks for that person who is also a she, to share, to talk. Is it because she loves him too much? Is her love a triangle? Hence the idea of shape. A triangle being, of course, that they're together, but then he also happens to be with someone else at the exact same time. And has it lost direction? Perhaps she just wants it to be back the way it was. It's different from many Chinese ballads in that it's far more acoustic in sound. It's not as piano-centered. And it's it's a certain appreciation that I have for this sort of sound. And that's coming up next and afterwards by listener request. It's Ailey.
Jenny Of all your lies and excuses, now just get out my face. 뭘 하던 상관 안 할래.
That was Jay Ari with What Shape Is Your Love? And right after that was Ailey with You and I by listener request. Now, there's a funny story as to how that request came about. Somebody asked me via my email. Thank you for sending that to me, by the way. They wanted to listen to that girl who everyone calls the Korean Beyonce, the one with the extremely powerful voice. They said, I can't seem to remember her name at this time, but I know it starts with an A. There could only be one explanation for who that was, and that is Ailey. So the song You and I picked that one. It's a very good example of kind of example of how she got that name, the Korean Beyonce. And a lot of people do have complaints that the instrumentals that producers give her are really, really loud, and it kind of encourages Ailey to belt out and power out the notes when it doesn't really call for that sort of performance. But in this case, it does seem as if the instrumental and the vocals suit each other just fine. This is actually probably one of my favorite songs by Ailey. So to the requester, there you are, and I hope you enjoy that. Now it is once again that time of the week where we check out just some of the latest happenings and the biggest news to come out of the Asian entertainment world. It's Asian Entertainment News. Now the one big story that I have for you today is regarding a legend in Chinese television. He is an actor who goes by the name Liu Xiaolingpeng, which translates literally to the little six-year-old child. Though he's not six years old. His real name is Zhang Jinlai, and he's perhaps most well-known for his role as the Monkey King Sun Wukong in the 1988 TV adaptation of Journey to the West, one of the four classic novels of Chinese literature. Why is he a legend? Though he really only has that one high-profile role to his name, and so long ago. It's because that television show remains to this day the most well-loved adaptation of that novel, and his performance in that title character, in a character that so many generations love, remains timeless. And he acted so well. It would just seem so natural. And of course, that was why it became this all-time favorite, this defining moment in Chinese television. And there have been adaptations, films, TV shows, even animations, numbering in the hundreds since 1988. but the one from 1988 remains the most well-known, and it's been re-aired over 2,000 times, dubbed and subtitled and broadcast in different countries. Now, Zhang's team will be partnering with Hollywood Paramount Pictures to make a 3D movie for a worldwide release. He says that the aim is to make it as close to the original as possible and even bring in some members of the original cast. Zhang says no Chinese film has ever made a genuine worldwide impact, like Titanic or Avatar. Monkey King has the potential to do exactly that. With the Year of the Monkey approaching, many productions will be attempting to cash in on the excitement and one of China's most beloved folk characters. To that, Zhang says, "A nation without culture is awful. A nation that fails to carry forward its culture is pathetic. A nation that tramples on its culture is shameful," addressing the fact that he believes literature and broader Chinese traditions, and especially classics like this, deserve a little more respect other than just being treated as a cash cow. And, of course, this another thing that made this television show extremely famous was the fact that it began shooting in 1982, and for almost 6 years, these actors and the crew went to locations, no sets, no fancy buildings for anything like that. They went to locations. Episodes set in the mountains, they were in the mountains. Episodes set in the forest, they were in the forest. And of course, there was a huge thing because every single day, the characters, especially people like Liu Xiaolingtong, who had to play a monkey, he had to be costumed. And the costume wasn't some stitched together fur that he just threw over himself and called it a day. What happened is that his face, several layers of makeup to make it seem more like a primate, and also fur, individual hairs that had to be applied to his face to make it look more consistent and more natural. Every single day they had to do that, so it took a very long time. And it contained a fair amount of CGI, though the special effects technology at that time was fairly primitive compared to what it is now. And the reason why this, I feel, is big news is because it carries that cultural overtone, if you will. It's something that, in a way, it really is distinctly Chinese. It's a Chinese classical novel, one of the four classics of Chinese literature. And it's something that's so well-loved that every single child knows this story. And every single adult now from Chinese-speaking areas, not just China, Taiwan, and also places where there's considerable Chinese diaspora, Malaysia, Singapore, all of them know this story. And this story is one that appeals to all those ages, because what's not to love about a monkey king, a super-powered monkey king who has super strength, increased durability, beating up bad guys and demons with a fighting staff. And it's a tale about loyalty too, because we have a person who is very loyal to his master, the monk Xuanzang, who, by the way, is actually a real person. This is a great embellishing of that story. And it's about that loyalty. It's about that path to becoming greater than what you could have been. So that, for me at least, is a very big deal. And to potentially see this in 3D in a really a really good production of this much-loved story, that's something, for me at least, that I am very excited to hear about and very, very excited to see when it finally comes out in the future. So we'll leave it at that. And after that, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we have more music on Asian Wave 101. Tune back in next week when we cover some more stories and some more headlines on Asian entertainment news. Don't go anywhere.
Join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar, the human serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
For a taste of the classics with a twist, join me, Marguerite, with Classical Chaos Sunday mornings starting at 9, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, Canada.
Back here live on Asian Wave 101. And for our Canadian artist of the week, it is a local band here in Vancouver called Cry of Silence. I had the great pleasure of meeting one of their members, Eddie, a while back. And we just talked a little bit, and he told me kind of about the aims of the band and their goals for their music, which is really to just deliver that positively charged, empowering, and inspiring music. And it really shows on this album, which was called Influence, released actually a few years ago in 2010. So the first song that I have is called Old Habits Die, and that's by Cry of Silence. Let's check it out now. That was Old Habits Die by Cry of Silence. And coming up next, it is Running in Circles, also by Cry of Silence. Now, you may have noticed that they are more in the hard rock sort of style, but very empowering, very inspiring, and that's something to commend from any sort of artist. So let's check out the next one. That was Cry of Silence with Running in Circles. Again, very positively charged, very uplifting music, which is very much in line with their goal for music and for the musical arts and for them as a band. And if you are interested in hearing more of them, you can check out some of their latest releases on their SoundCloud. Follow them on all the various social medias. Eddie and the rest of Cry of Silence, if you're listening to this right now, thank you so much for speaking with me that day. And thank you for delivering just good music for us all to enjoy. Support local indie artists, everybody. It's what we do here at CITR 101.9. FM. It's all part of the love for the music scene that we have for something that we're all passionate about. So moving on, going back towards the more East Asian side of things, it is a very interesting trio from South Korea called Lucky J. Now, what's interesting about them is that they are actually a co-op group, and that's co-ed, which is something that is very, very rare in Korean music, a group that is both male and female members. So Lucky J, because because all of them have names or perform under names that start with the letter J. We have Jaekyun, the rapper, J-Yo, the male vocalist, and Jessie, the female vocalist. And some of you may recognize that name, Jessie. It's because she is of Unpretty Rap Star fame. That was the one that really shot her into superstardom in South Korea about a year ago. And this is a release coming a long time after their debut, their official debut in 2014. The song is called No Love. And in terms of style, it's something that you actually don't hear a whole lot in Korean music, kind of the blending of modern and traditional. You can hear a lot of traditional instruments in the background of this instrumental. It's a good mix of kind of the hip-hop and R&B style with that, and there's rapping, there's singing, and overall, it's just a really smooth, slick, solid listening experience. So let's check it out now. Lucky J with No Love.
Famous bro.
Famous bro.
Famous bro. 뭔가 잘못됐다고 느낄 때쯤 이미 늦어버렸단 걸 알았지. 네 눈빛이 말해주던 차츰 How's damn 내 말은 네 맘이라고 노트를 펼쳐 한 글자 한 글자 핏물처럼 찍어 내려가던 이름 하나 묻자 최선을 다하긴 했어 대답이 없는 의문사 슬픈 표정으로 기억에 불을 붙인다 기억을 되돌려봐도 변하는 건 하나 없고 이 사진 속에 난 홀로
That was Lucky J with No Love. Very cool, very slick listening experience. Again, really cool kind of comparison, that mix that they had with the traditional instruments and more modern, more urban sounds. Overall, I do have to say, good song, but it was not the best vocal performance from Jessie. She is actually very capable. She's a very capable singer, and that's actually how she originally became known. She has very much, let's say, she has a lot of skill that really wasn't on the best display on this particular track. So that will actually take us to the last song of the day. It's an old favorite. It's by Khalil Fong, and the song is called I, which is, translate that, love, love, love. Now, Khalil is probably one of the only artists active in Chinese music who really kind of really does justice for the classical soulful R&B sound. And that's this one right here, released in 2006 on his album This Love, very close to becoming a classic. So that will play us out. Coming up next is your weekly arts report. Stick around. They'll be coming in and talking about some more cool stuff as per usual. If you have a request for me at all, don't hesitate to send it my way, asianwave101@gmail.com. If you have any thoughts on this week's news, send it my way as well, asianwave101@gmail.com. That will do it for this week's show. I'm Steve Zhang for CITR 101.9 FM, live from our studio on the UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory. I will talk to you again next week, and until then, Khalil Fong to play us out, and take care, everybody.
Hello, welcome to the Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM. Today is January the 27th, 4:59 p.m. We're 1 minute early today, and we are broadcasting to you live from the University of British Columbia Vancouver campus from unceded Musqueam territory. My name is Christine Kim, and in the studio we have our lovely co-host.
Yes, it's me, Ashley Park. Hello.
We are going to be your show hosts for this afternoon. And on today's show, we will be having guests. We'll be having two guests, Leslie Telford and Jeremy Berkman. More about those two a little bit later on our show today. But we're also going to be having, we're going to be featuring more Fringe-related promotions.
Fringe, including Push?
Push interviews and a couple show reviews, actually, by our own arts reporters.
Ooh,
so
yes.
Please do stay tuned till the very end of our episode. And as we prepare for our first interview of the day, I wanted to let you listeners know about a really cool event happening in about a half hour from now, actually.
It's really local.
The UBC Arts and Culture Night at the Museum of Anthropology. And this night will feature performances by UBC Clubs, The Blank Vinyl Project, Improv, and Slam from 6 to 8:30. Doors open at 5:30, and it's only $4 admission.
Yeah,
so
right.
If you guys don't have time to make it to the actual event, there's actually going to be an after party at the Kerner's Pub. So please do check out the Facebook event, the event that's on Facebook, if you want more details. And you can actually, to get that information, you can go to our Facebook, which is The Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM, because we made a post about it. Or if you're following us on Twitter, we also have the information there. And you can follow us on Twitter at CITR_arts.